Today's daf is Ayin Tet. Just to quickly review, we were talking about Oto Ve'Bino, how it's Noheg, but specifically we were talking about the Isur to Shecht an animal and its offspring in the same day. We were talking about the Machloket between Rabbanan and, right now I have to remember who said what. Rabbanan and Chananya, about whether we say it's only Nikevot, right, because Ein Choshashin Lezera Ha'av, which is a topic we're going to talk about a lot today, or do we say it's both Scharim and Nikevot, that you're not allowed to slaughter in one day? And then we brought up this source that said, this is how we really got into this, comes l'rabot et ha'kilayim, and then they said, well, O is not free, because O is needed l'chalek, to say a chor oseh. And then we said, well, according to Chananya, and then we say that drasha is from the word oto, right? So we have two options. Either we darshan from the word oto, right? So they basically, again, let's just, o is l'rabot et ha'kilayim, and then we say oto is lechalek, or they said according to Chananya, oto is not free because oto we need for his drasha. In which case, since oto is not free, we're going to have to say we just don't need anything lechalek, right? And he holds like Rabbi Yonatan, right? That anywhere it says ve, it means o, unless it says the word yachdav. Okay? And that's from, I think I quoted the wrong pasuk yesterday, it's lo tachrosh v'shor v'chamor yachdav. Okay, that's the pasuk. I think there's another one by Kilayim. But anyway, that's the one. So basically we're going to say Chananya doesn't have oto free. And why doesn't he have the oto free? And that's where we're going to talk right now about where does Chananya use, what does he use the word oto for? That was where we were at. One thing I didn't understand yesterday, so I didn't discuss, I figured it out by today, which is then they said, what's Chananya, what's Rabbanan? If you noticed in Rabbanan's drasha, they also use the word oto. So I was a little bit struggling to figure out, they also use oto, which means oto is not going to be free for them, but the Gemara said only oto is not free for Chananya. So if you remember, we ended with this yesterday, which is, Rabbanan say, Oto ve'pino is noheg v'nekevot and not scharim. And where does he get this from? Right? I'll just quickly read from about 15 lines from the bottom. D'tani yachol yehei oto ve'pino noheg v'em scharim v'nekevot, right? And then he says, v'dinhu, it's a logical kavachomer that since we're going to learn from Shiloh HaKein that it's only she'chiyeh v'em alavanim v'nekevot, also here. And then they say, but maybe there's a difference because there it's only, if you happen upon, not if you own it, and here you also own it, so therefore maybe this applies even to more cases. And then they say, Talmud Lomar, Oto. And what do they learn from Oto? Echa velo shnayim. Okay, and therefore it's only one, and then he goes back to his kavachomer. Well, if it's only one, then the one is going to be the female, the mother. But then they say, but if you want to question me, then we can learn it from Bino, because a Zachar ain Bino Karuch Acharav, he doesn't generally dwell with his father. So that's why. In other words, in theory, they do darshan it from Oto, but then they sort of say, well, if you don't accept that, then I can give you a different proof. So you'd end up saying, really, the Rabbanan's proof is Bino and not Oto. That's what you have to say, because Oto, according to Chachamim, according to the Gemara, is free. So that's why I was a little confused, because they also used Oto, but then I realized at the end that that's what it is. It's because they somewhat reject the Oto. They don't reject it entirely, but they say, really, we're relying on the Bino. Okay? Now, Chananya, L'Chananya K'tiv Oto. Now, what does Oto teach Chananya? Remember, Chananya wants to get to that it's Charim and Nekevot. So Oto ve'epino, now Oto is mashma zachar. Uktiv bino, well that bino sounds like the only, however you can figure out the bino, misha bino karucha harav, to mashma nekeva. So therefore he says you have the Oto comes to include zachar, the bino comes to imply nekevot, so hilkach noheg beim bischarim beim nekevot. So there the word Oto is specifically needed according to Chananya, which means he doesn't have Oto lechalek, But then we said that's not a problem. He still doesn't need Ole Chalek because he learns, like Rabbi Yonatan, that you don't ever really need. You could say, could have said Shor Visse, and it still would have meant Shor Ose. Unless it said Yachdav, right? Then it would have to be both, but otherwise we're going to assume not. Okay, that was all, that whole discussion. Now we're going to get off for a minute on who we paskin like. I'm Rav Huna Bar Chiya, I'm Rav Shmuel, Hilchata Kechananya. Okay, the halacha is like Chananya, he says, that it's both Zachar and Nekeva. Va'az de Shmuel Atamai, when Shmuel goes Lishitato, Titnan, he quotes a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, now we're going to have to, sorry, I didn't have time to do a sheet, but write this all out. So, now he's going to say like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hanoladin min hasus, afa pisha avihen chamor. Okay, so this really means a susa, okay, and a chamor. Susa and a chamor have offspring. That's called a parrot, a mule. Okay, so a horse and a donkey give birth to a mule. So hanoladin min hasus, afa pisha avihen chamor, mutarin ze baze. Okay, so let's just assume we have a Susan Chamor and a Susan Chamor. We're going to have to figure out what exactly this case is. This is a Susan Chamor and as two female horses that gave birth, that got impregnated from a donkey and had a mule. So we'll see. Or is it the reverse case? A Susan Chamor and a Chamora and a Susa and a Sus. Okay? So we're going to get into all the options here.
So we're not slaughtering them for food.
What?
We're killing them for other reasons because we can't eat them. So we're not.
Right. No, this isn't for food purposes. No, but here we're talking about, can you crossbreed them or can you? We're not talking about eating them. No, we're not talking about food. No, we're talking about this kilayim issue or working them together, right? Lo tachro shor b'disho yachdav, right? Shor b'chamor yachdav, you can't use two different types of animals to do your work for you. These were animals that worked for them. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, hanoladim min asus, now the whole issue is what? Chananya basically says, charim min nekevot, which means Chananya holds, choshushin lezera ha'av, right? That we trace them through the father and we're concerned with whatever the father is. So now we're going to say that Shmuel Paskin's like him must go l'shitat Chananya. Does it make sense? He goes l'shitato. Because here's a Mishnah, and then we're going to see what Shmuel says about this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hanoladim min asus, af al pi sheavihen chamor, mutarin ze baze. So these two pradot, okay, first of all, mules apparently can't bear offspring. It's incredibly rare that they can. So probably we're not talking about crossbreeding them for mating purposes, but for work purposes. Okay, the Gemara doesn't talk about that, but I'm assuming that's what they mean. So, mutarin ze bazeh. Aval hanoladim min hachamor im hanoladim min hasus asurim. Okay, but hanoladim im hachamor im hasus, what does this mean? So, until now we assumed both mothers are susot and the fathers are chamorim. But if you have hanoladim min hasus, min hachamor im hanoladim min hasus, so now you're going to have a chamora and a sus and a susa with a chamor, okay, and they both give birth to a pered, those are not mutar. Okay, why are those not mutar? Because they're the same types, except it depends how you look at it. If you look at it as both parents, well, then they're the same, basically. It's just the opposite, right? It doesn't really matter. But if you follow just the mother, you have a chamora and a susa here, okay? So, aval hanoladim min hachamor im hanoladim min hasus asurim. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So he's basically not choshesh lezera ha'av, it sounds like. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, amar Shmuel. So now here comes, how do we know that Shmuel goes l'shitato when he paskins like Chananya, who says that we are choshesh for the father? Because Amar Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, Zo divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Damar ein choshishin lezera ha'av. He says, yes, this Mishnah only goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Aval chachamim omrim, kol minei pradot echad hein. Okay, so chachamim say that they're all the same. And then you'd say, right, man chachamim, chanan Yehuda, Amar choshishin lezera ha'av. Okay, so right then you'd have to assume that what he's saying is the general opinion, though, is the choshashin lezerah ha'av, which would mean that a chamura and a sus and a susa and a chamura, their offspring are allowed to be worked together because they're viewed as the same because they're 50-50 chamur and sus, and it doesn't matter which is male and which is female. V'hai bar susya v'chamra, v'hai bar chamya v'susya, kulu chadim minu ninu. Okay, so then that's just explaining. So the son of a susa and a susa and a chamora, and one is the son of a susa and a chamor, a susa and a chamora. I'm trying to figure out which is which. Chamra v'susya. Right, it's just giving the order. It's actually not saying it in feminine or masculine, but
they're
all one and the same. Kulu chadim minu ninu. So now that's what we have. We have Rabbi Yehuda who says. Right. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says these are asurim, and his reason why he says these are asurim is because ein choshashin lezera ha'af. Okay, but notice he goes lechumra, right? He says because ein choshashin lezera ha'af, these two pradot are going to be forbidden. Okay, now when you go leisur, there's always two ways to say it. Is he going leisur because he's not really sure and he's machmir? Or is he going lisur because he says, clearly, we're not choshesh zera ha'av, and this is a crossbreed, because it's really a chamura with a susa. Okay? That's going to be the Gemara's question now. Ibai lehu. Mifshat pshita leila Rabbi Yehuda de'en choshesh zera ha'av. Is he saying this definitively? O dilma sipuke misapkale. Or is it mishum safek? Now, obviously, what's the difference? Lamai nafkamina. Okay, what would be the relevance? Lemishra pri im ha'em. Okay, pri here doesn't mean fruit. It means offspring. Right, but the offspring. So can you allow this pered with its mother? You take this pered and you want to work it with the chamura mother. Now, if you say it goes after en choshin lezera ha'av definitively, then what would you say? The pered is considered a chamur, basically, and the chamura is a chamura, so we can work them together. But if you say that he's just choshesh, maybe ein choshashin lezera ha'av, it's a safek, then you won't allow it mishum safek because maybe it's from the father also, and then it's not the same type. Okay, that's going to be the question. Okay, Iyamar, we'll read it inside. Iyamar, mifshat pshitale, it's obvious to him, right, that ein choshashim, it's definitive. Priyamaim shari, because they're considered the same mean. Okay, then you would say the pered is not the same as the chamura because the pered is made up of half sus, half chamura, and the chamura is full chamura, and that's not the same thing. So what is it? So now we're going to bring, I think it's three potential answers. Okay, tashma. So again, we want to know, is Rabbi Yehuda saying this definitively or mishum safek? Rabbi Yehuda omer. Now we're going to look at the words of what he says again. Kol hanoladim min asus, af al pish avihen chamor mutarin ze bazeh. Right, his first case was susan chamor gave birth to a parrot, and the susan chamor gave birth to a parrot. Right, that's kol hanoladim min asus, are mutarim ze bazeh, even though, right, af al pish avihen chamor. Okay, so hey chidami, what exactly is this case? I lema davua dahai chamor vavua dahai chamor. If we assume, right, he wants to say this first case is mutar. So look, we have susan chamor and a susan a chamor. Both of them give birth to a pered, and that's mutar. Now, if both are married, right, both mate with a chamor, then the pered, no matter how you look at it, is exactly the same as the other pered because they both have the same mother, they both have the same father. It shouldn't make any bit of a difference. It's tzricha lemeimar. Do you need to even bring that case? So therefore, elalav, what must be the case here? Elalav, it must be davua dahai sus, vavua dahai chamor, vekatane mutarim zeim ze. It must be the case of there's a one second.
Father of one.
Right, the father of one is a, so then they're not a parrot, right? One is, right, it's a susan a chamor give birth to a parrot, and a susan a sus give birth, right? Is that what, right? Right, davua dahai sus. It's a susan a sus, okay? It must be the second one is not actually a pered. It's a sus. Okay? Because what does he call it? Notice the words. We understood that hanoladim min asus is a pered. But he's saying, no, hanoladim min asus, meaning both have susot mothers, but one father is a sus, and the other father is a chamor. Okay? And then, in other words, because it wouldn't make sense, there's no reason to say it's mutar if both are exactly identical. So therefore, now what are we trying to figure out? Is he mifsha pashele or is sipuke mesapkale? So v'katani mutarim zemze, alma mifsha pshitale. Because he says they're mutarim zemze, and the fathers are different, what does that prove? That he's vada in choshashin lezera ha'af. Because if he was safek in choshashin lezera ha'af, then you would have a concern here that, you know, one's a sus, one's a parrot, one has a different father, the other has a different, you know, they each have different fathers, and you wouldn't allow it. So clearly he holds, right? Mifsha pshitale. Now, clearly, assuming mutari, this is all, hanoladim in asus could mean, right, means susan chamor with susan sus. Okay? So now they go back to the first one. What was the whole thing? It can't be the case we put on the board in the beginning. Susan chamor with susan chamor, both give birth to parrot and is mutarim zemze, because that's obvious. So they say, no. We could actually say it's that, which means we don't have an answer to whether he holds. Is it pasha to him or is it suffering? La'olam da'avua da'hai chamor v'avua da'hai chamor. U'dekamar tatzricha l'meimar. And you said, well, do we even need to say this? Yeah, we do need to tell you this. Why did Rabbi Yehuda need to tell you this? Because ma'u detema ate tzad desus mishtamish b'tzad chamor v'tzad chamor mishtamish b'tzad sus ka mashmalan. What might you have said? A pered who's a crossbreed between a susan and a chamor can't work with another parrot who's a crossbreed between a susan and a chamor. Maybe you would think that, and that's why he has to tell you it's a chidush. Why? Because maybe you'd say that while it's working, it's made up of 50-50 sus and chamor. So maybe the sus part of him is working with the chamor part of the other one. Now, we're not saying we actually hold that would be an issue, but he's saying in order that you wouldn't think to suggest something along those lines, he needs to tell you. Now, another answer, by the way, could have just been he wants to set up the contrast, the foil to the second case. And that maybe there really is no chiddush, it's just trying to say that versus the next one. So that's also another possibility, if you're not convinced by that one. Okay. So we didn't really figure out whether Rabbi Yehuda is just machmir, or he thinks that this is vadai, en choshashin lezera ha'af. Tashma, here's our next attempt to understand what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Pirda Shetava, Pirda wants to mate. Okay, here it's interesting because, right, maybe just have relations, right, but not necessarily for the purpose of breeding offspring. But you have a Pirda Shetava. Ein marbi'im aleha lo sus velo chamor, ela mina. Okay, you can't mate it with a sus or a chamor, because again, lo tarbiya ben tachal kelaim, ela mina. Okay, only something that's just like it. Okay, now, if you're going to say, right, what does it mean, elamina? We assume it means only with another parrot. Now, and the question is also, it's going to have to be a parrot that's just like it in terms of having the same mother. Now, if it was obvious, then what could you do, in fact? Lirba ala mina de'ima. Right? Assuming, let's say, it was a susan chamor, this parent's mother was a susan. So you could actually mate it with a sus, or a susan, depending whether it's male or female. Right? Here it's a pirda, so it would be a sus. Delo yad'ina, so now they say, basically, what does that prove? If he's for sure en choshashin lezera ha'av, then this parent could mate with a sus. Let's say its mother was a sus, or whatever type the mother was, it would be able to mate with it. So therefore, it must be, it's Mishum Sefik, and that's why he's Machmir her also. Now the Gemara is going to reject this also, because the Gemara says, maybe it means Lirba ala Mina, only Mina, because maybe Delo Yadina Mina Di Ima. It's a case where we have no idea who the mother was. We know it's a crossbreed between a donkey and a horse, but we don't know which one was the mother. Miney, so my nihu. We don't know which type the mother was. Veha, but wait, it says elamina katani. But wait, If we say Ein Choshashin Lezera Ha'av, and we have this peer down, we don't know who the mother is, well then, what did we learn before? You can't crossbreed if the mother is a Chamura, right? A parrot whose mother is a Chamura with a parrot whose mother is a Susa. So how can you breed it with another mule if you don't know
what
this one's lineage is? Even if you know what the other one's is, it's not going to help you. If you don't know the lineage of this one, then you can't mate it. So they actually reread this source. When Rabbi Yehuda said, Pirdasha Tava Emar Bi'in Ala Lo Sus Velo Chamor Ela Mina, what it really means to say is like this. Hachi Kamar. Emar Bi'in Ala Lo Min Sus Velo Min Chamor Lefisha Ein Yodim Bimina. You can't breed it with anything because you don't know what the mean is. In other words, since you don't know where this parrot came from, what its lineage is, so to speak. I don't know if you use lineage by animals, but since you don't know its lineage, therefore, it can't mate at all. So then they say, wait a minute. Now here they're bringing a whole new thing that we didn't know before. V'livdok b'simanim. But there's simanim. There's ways to know whether there's a mule whose mother is a chamora or whether the mother is a susa. How do we know this? And then, in which case, you should be able to mute it with another mule as long as it has simanim, right? Take one that has simanim, its mother's a, right? This one has simanim, its mother's a chamora, a donkey. Then, you know, breed it with another one who has those simanim. Damar Abaye, Ave Kale Bar Chamra. If it has a deep voice, you know the mother is a chamora. Sniv Kale, if it has a shrilly voice. Then bar susia. Then you know the mother is a horse. I was thinking, right? Horses neigh like very shrilly, and donkeys are a little
why
more.
Why would they assume that the voice comes from the mother?
Right. I don't know. That was exactly. That was some sort of simanim. Well, you're going to see. It's very interesting with the way they treat these simanim. They treat them very seriously. Va'amara papa, rav ravan odne v'zutra genuvte. If its ears are long and its tail is short. Bar Chamra, then you know it comes from a donkey because a donkey has long ears and short tail. Zutran Odne V'Rabba Genuvte, if it has short ears and long tail, Bar Susia, then you know it's the offspring of a Sus. So, why don't you just check the simanim and then you'd know? So number one, it's a case where we already said, where it says so simply, well, it means we don't know who its mother is. Now we're going to say, Hachabamayaskinan, bi'ilemet v'gidemet. It doesn't speak, right? It's mute. And its head and its ears and tail is cut off. Okay. So that didn't help us to figure out whether he's Mesupe Mesapke. Again, only because we assumed that we can claim that maybe it's talking about this unique case, in which case it wouldn't be an indicator. Okay. So, my havela. So, what do we, again, we need to know what the story is. What, right? Is he Misupgam Sapke or is he Mifshapshita? Tashma. So let's learn it from here. This is the third. Da Amarav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua. Hakol Modim. Okay, so this is a statement of an Amora about the Machloket, Rabbi Yehuda B'Chachamim. Hakol Modim B'Pri Ma'em Sha'asur. Everyone agrees that was the whole Nafkamina, right? What do we say in that case? If we assume Ein Choshin L'Zera Ha'av, then a parrot who came from a Chamura can do stuff with a chamura, won't be an issue. But everyone agrees that that's asur. So shma mina sipuke mesapkale, shma mina. So now they conclude it must be that Rabbi Yehuda is mesupak. Otherwise, that would be mutar, according to him. So amrale, Rabbi Abba l'shame, said to Shamash, ima ayat le kudniyata berifsak, ayen lahanach de damyan lahadade va'ayali. So he says, if you bring me pradot to pull my wagon, right, that's what they use the mules for, if you bring me pradot to pull my wagon, now we're going to get into the simanim, ayin lahanach dedamyin lahadade, in other words, go find two that look like each other, okay, because then we can assume that they have the same mothers, va'ayali, and only then bring them for me to work. Alma kasavar, what's proven from here? That he holds Ein Choshashin L'Zera Ha'av, right? Number one, he holds We're not choshes to zera ha'av because all he wants to do is to know who the mother is, because those are our, right? And what did we say? The simanim, or simanim that show the mother. And then we see that as long as they look the same, right, according to Rabbi Abba, as long as they look the same, we can assume they came from the same mother. We don't care about the father, right? So, enchoshim lezera ha'av. Ve, number two, simanim de'oraita. That's why I said you might laugh at these simanim. But he holds the simanim de'oraita because here you see he can be, you know, getting into territory where he might be over on Isser de'oraita if he takes these two pradot that don't come from the same mother. And based on simanim, he's able to determine whether they have the same mother, and then he works them, which could be an Isser de'oraita. It shows that you can rely on the simanim even in a de'oraita, which is very interesting.
Which simanim?
Like the simanim, the long ears, and as he said, check before you take these two mules to pull my carriage, make sure they look the same. As long as they look the same, we're okay. Because looking the same means that they have the same mother.
The same kind of mother.
Right. Not the same mother. Right, right. The same type of mother.
And if you think about it, it's no respect for genetics. Because
right. This actually sounds very odd, because if they look the same, then the assumption is if the siman, it doesn't necessarily show ein choshin lezera. I was thinking, as I said, now, not exactly ein choshin lezera ha'av, because if the mother, it's clear who the mother is, and it's a mule, then it's obvious also who the father is. Because if it's a mule, and it's not a sus, and it's not a chamor, then, you know, unless, I don't know. It's a little odd that they say that, but they do say that you can rely on simanim d'oraita to prove what type it is. Okay? So, Tana Rabbanan. Oto, now we're getting into a braita. Oto ve'epino noheg bekilayim. We saw this before. Oto ve'epino is relevant even for kilayim animals, crossbred animals. Ubekoi, also a koi. Okay, now, what's the issue? Why would you think a koi is not? A koi is half behema, half chaya. Okay, we're going to talk about the classic koi. Okay, what they assume, it's a crossbreed of two animals. Now, the pasuk about oto ve'epino said, shor oseh. Shor oseh or behemot. And we're now going to get into all sorts of, since we're talking about the koi, we're going to talk about all sorts of issues that are relevant only to chayot or only to behemot. So we now have our issue, which is only behemot, because it says shor oseh. And the question is, right, we're now going to say, according to Tanakama, it's noheg even bekoi. Okay? Even though a koi is a half chaya, half behema. So we're going to have to figure out which type of koi. By the mother, okay, we're going to see. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kilaim haba min ha'ez umin ha'rachel. Okay, kilaim is relevant if you have a crossbreed of, otove epino is noheg bekilaim, that's a crossbreed between an ez and a rachel. Otove epino, kilaim, one second, when he says this, he means kilaim. Right, sorry. Okay, it goes like this. Right. It's talking about Oto ve'epino is the subject. Oto ve'epino is going to be noheg if you have kilaim, a crossbreed between Ez and Rachel, because both of those are in the Seh family, okay, which is, they're all behemot, okay, the ewe and a sheep.
No, ewe is the sheep. Goat.
Oh, it's a ewe and a goat. Thank you. The ewe and the goat. Oto ve'epino. Noheg, so that is otove epino nohegbo. Vikoi ain otove epino nohegbo. Okay, so Tanakama says that koi, there is otove epino. Okay, let's put this on the board.
Isn't otove epino relevant only to when you shecht them? And why would you need to shecht a koi? Is this a koi kosher for eating?
First of all, you can shecht them for other, I see, you're talking about, right. But maybe you're killing it because
you want the skin, right?
Right, or you want to sell it.
Then why would you shecht it?
Right. Right, it is weird, hashochet, but maybe it just means killing it in this case. It's a good question, how you would say that.
Can you eat a koi?
No, but a koi, right, no, a koi is kosher.
Can you eat a koi?
Yeah.
Things that are...
No. Ah, it's a cross, no, you can eat it. You can eat a koi.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, so we have, Tanakama says that otove epino is noheg bekoi, and Rabbi Lazar says it's not. Okay?
Yeah, you can eat it because it's a crossbreed between a goat and a deer.
Right,
and
deer exactly. And deer is kosher and goat is kosher, exactly.
But how can you eat kilayim?
It's a sore to breathe them, but it's not a sore to eat them. It's just like fruit, with like vegetables. If it's a sore to do it, but if they're already, if there's a crossbreed, then you can eat it. The isser is on the person who does it. It's like we saw the other day, that if you did otov epino, it's not a sore b'achila. Right? Same thing. That's what we saw that yesterday. It's not a sore b'achila. That was that whole thing in the Mishnah, right? All those cases. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda. So now Rav Chisda comes and says, Ezehu koi shenechleku b'Rav Elazar b'chachamim. What is the case where they're having a machloket about? Haba min atayish umin atzviya. Again, which is the father, which is the mother? So the tayish is the goat, which is a, right? So a ram? Okay.
Goat.
Here they call it a goat, I think. Okay, so it's a goat and a tzviya. Okay, a deer, a female deer. A doe, okay.
Both of them have song, no, also Tayish has
yes, yes. Right, yes, under Tayish. Okay. So you have a Tayish and a Tzviya. Okay? Hey Chidami. So now, Rav Chisda says that's the case. Okay? So what we know is we have facts, okay? The fact is there's a machloket, Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer, about a koi, whether it's Noheg Votov Epino. We have Rav Chisda who says the case they're arguing about is a tayish with a tzviya. Okay, the mother is a chaya, okay, and the father is a behema. Now remember, otov epino is only noheg by behemot. So now that's going to explain the machloket. But now they're going to say hey chidami. What exactly is the case? What otov epino are we talking about? If you're talking about tayish habala tzviya v'yalda, right, and then they have an offspring, okay? So if you're talking about the offspring of the Tayish and the Tzviya, which is the koi, okay? So we want to say, oto ve'et bino, right? The parent with the koi itself. If you want to say, so it's a Tayish habala Tzviya v'yada, v'kashachi la ulibera, so then we slaughter. It's the Tzviya and the koi. V'ham Rav Chisda, hakom modim, Behi tzviya ubena tayish shepatur. Rav Chisda said elsewhere that everybody agrees if she's a tzviya and the ben is a tayish, that it's patur. Okay, why is that? Because the mother is not even a chaya, right? I'm sorry, is not a behema. The mother's a chaya. So it can't be otov epino if it's a chaya with the koi. That's for sure patur. Right. Even if the offspring is half behema, you can't say otov epino is relevant if the mother's a tzviya, because the mother's a chaya, and there's no isur of otov epino by a chaya.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. We're talking now again about otov epino.
We're talking about otov epino.
So then what difference does it make what type they are? Parent, we're talking about sar balei chayim.
No, because the Torah says shor oseh. It's very clear from the Torah this is only relevant to behemoth.
It has to do with Torah balei chayim. It has to do with saying...
Well, then you get into... Right,
fulfilling the halacha.
So look, maybe this is a good support, by the way, of the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch's approach. This is about learning about not to be achzari. And the Torah gave a particular case of behemoth. Why behemoth more than chayot? Because behemoth are ones that you are in charge of. They live in your house, you know, or your farm.
And they're also more accessible.
And they're more accessible rather than chayot that are out in the wild. And, you know, we have less need to be rachmani toward them. You know, now the Rambam could say maybe also tzar balei chayim is your relationship with your own animals. You know, maybe you could say it like that. Again, it's harder to understand according to the Rambam. I agree. To say this is only behemoth works less well with the Rambam, who thinks it's tzar balei chayim in general. Again, that's always the problem with Tamei HaMitzvot. They don't always match exactly all the pratim and all the, you know. Okay. So it can't be that. So that can't be the case. It can't be that we're talking about, and that is the case is Tayish and Tzviya, that we know, because that's the facts from Rav Chisda. So it can't be the Tzviya with the Koi, because that for sure is patur for everybody. Now, what if you say, so if it's not that, what would you say? Set ubeno, shepator ah. Why does he agree that everyone says it's patur? Because se ubeno, amar achmana, velo tzvi ubeno. Okay, that's the reason why it's clearly patur. Now, if you say, it's bitzvi habala tiyasha v'yalda, v'kashach la ulibara, let's say it's the reverse. So it's not a tayash and a tzviya, it's a tzvi and a tiyasha. Okay? Let's say it's that case. V'yalda, and they have a koi. And then we want to say, right, v'kashach la ulibara, and then we want to say, it's the tayish the taisha, the female goat, and the koi. V'hama Rav Chista, everyone agree. Rav Chista also says, Hakol modin b'hiti yashau b'nat zvisha chayav. Kose amar rachmana, ubeno koldehu. Right? Any offspring of a set doesn't matter whether it's a koi or not. So it can't be that case. So now we're stuck. If a koi is a crossbreed between a taish and a tzvi, whether male, female, well, we've rejected all possibilities of there being a machloket here. So what are the answer? Le'olam b'tayish ha'ba'al ha'tzviya. We go back to the first case. It is a taish ha'ba'al ha'tzviya, which we said was obvious according to everybody, right? But it's not the tzviya and the koi that we're talking about. Notice they're trying to bring all nikeva examples because we pass on like Hananya, that all goes after the mother. So what's the case? The yalda bat, the koi now has offspring. Okay? The koi, it's a koya, not a koi. Okay? It's a koya, that's a bat. And that bat has a ben or a bat. It doesn't really matter. Okay? And we're talking not about the mother with the koi, we're talking about the koya with its offspring. That's the case. Now, how does that work? Ukashachit lau liberam. Then they slaughter her, the koi, and her son. So, Rabbanan sav rechoshashin lezera ha'av. Vise vafilu miktatse. So, Rabbanan hold. Now, this goes back to our original machloket. Why do Rabbanan say koi is in otov epino in this case? Because choshashin lezera ha'av. And the zera ha'av of the koi still has se in it. It has behema genes in it. And se, when it says shor or se, means even if it has a bit of a se in it, right? Meaning even if the father's a se. Rabbi Elazar savar ein choshashim lezera ha'av. He says there's no tov epino here because the father's not a player here. And therefore it's just a tzvi. Vese vafilu miktsat se lo amrinan. We don't say even if it has a bit of a se in it. Okay, well, now, we just basically have simply that their machloket is choshishid lezerahav or ein choshishid lezerahav. So the Gemara asks, the liflog, why didn't they just say choshishid lezerahav? Biplugti de Chananya v'Rabbanan. Why didn't we just say this is the same machloket as Chananya v'Rabbanan? And they didn't even need to say, particularly in this case, they could have just said, are we choshishid lezerahav or not? It would have had broader implications if they had just said it, you know, like that. So now they say, ah, no, because e pligi bahahi, just because, now we're going to go back to something we said earlier today. Even if you're plige, in that case, choshin lezera ha'av, hava amina, you might have thought, though, beha afilu rabbana modu, diseva afilu miktatse lo amrinan. Ka mashmalan. Okay, you might have thought that even if you say choshin lezera ha'av, that Rabbanan could still say sevi miksatse. When we say, even though we're not choshish lezera ha'av, since it says shor se, se means any, if it has any kind of behema genes in it, it's going to be part of this halacha. Okay? And that maybe you would have distinguished between the halacha of se miksatse and choshishin lezera ha'av. Okay? And you might have thought, and therefore we want to say kamash malan, that even if it has miksatse in it, we don't include that here. Okay, it's not going to be in the part of this Isser of Otov Epino. V'haditnan, but now they ask a question. What about this Mishnah? Koi ain't shochatin otov b'yom tov. Okay, there's a halacha. What's the problem? Koi is safek be'ema, safek chaya. And there's a halacha of kisoy adam. You can't do kisoy adam on yom tov. So therefore, what do they say? You can't shecht chayot on yom tov because you can't be mechaseh. You can't cover the blood. Ah, no, sorry. You can if you shecht a chayan on yantif, you're allowed to cover the blood. But if it's suffix, whether it's a chaya or not, then you're not allowed to cover the blood because maybe it's not and you can't do that on yom tov. So a full 100% chaya, you can slaughter and cover the blood. But a koi, which is a suffix, we're concerned that maybe it doesn't need kisoy adam because maybe we go by the behema, in which case they don't allow you to shecht it on yom tov because then you won't be able to lechasot et adam. Okay, because you can't lechazot adam mishum safek. V'im shachato, but if you did it anyway, then ein mechasin et amo. Then okay, you shechted it already; it's too late, but you're still not allowed to cover the blood. So again, b'maya skina, ilema b'tayish habal atzviya v'yalda bein. Okay, so if you're talking about a tayish with a tzviya, so now we're going to say like this: Bein l'rabbanan, bein l'rabbi Eliezer, lishchov v'lichase. Either which way, you should be mechase. Why? Tzvi v'afilu miktzat tzvi. Because there the pasuk says, it talks about v'chi yatzud tzayit, or I forget exactly the words there, but, and your tzadet tzvi, there everyone will assume, even if it has any sort of tzvi genes in it, then you cover the blood. And therefore, right, because the tzvi is, and what this really means is, since the mother was a tzvi, either you're chachamim, and you say se miktzatse, and you would say tzvi miktzatse, and therefore
you cover it.
Or your Rabbi Eliezer, who says it all goes by the mother,
in which case,
he doesn't really hold tzvi miktzatse, but he's going to say it's all the mother, and the mother's a chaya. So for sure you would cover it. Notice here it says, right, you can't cover it. So can't, that doesn't make sense if that's the case. Ela b'tzvi habala tiyasha, what if the female is the tayish, is the behema, and the male is the chaya, v'yalda, ila rabbanan, right, so this is a crossbreed of those, with the mother's a tiyasha. So ila rabbanan, what would you say? L'shchov l'kase, because he says, tzvi u'miktat tzvi. And the father's a tzvi, right? V'choshesh l'zera ha'af. But e l'rabbi l'ezer, and by the way, right, Rabbanan doesn't match what it says. The Mishnah says you can't be mechaseh v'dam. So if it was chachamim, you could be mechaseh v'dam because the father's a tzvi. Ila Rabbi Eliezer, what would you say? Ein choshishin lezera ha'av, which means it's fully a behema, which means you can shecht it and not cover the blood because it's 100% not chayav and kisoy adam. So ila Rabbi Eliezer, lishchov lo likase. So what could possibly be the case? La'olam b'tzvi habal atiyasha. It must be a tzvi with a tayasha. Okay, we're going to go back to that last case. B'rabbanan sipuke mesapkale I choshishin lezera ha'av I ein choshishin. Okay? The whole thing is that there's misupakim, and that's why you can't do it, because it's all a suffix. When we said, this goes back to what we said earlier, was Rabbi Yehuda choshesh, was it a suffix, or was he vadai? So now they say, Rabbanan must be misupakim, whether choshashim or not, and that's why, since we're not sure, we're going to say, maybe we're choshash zera'av, and maybe this isn't fully a chaya, and then we're going to have to, I'm sorry, maybe this is a chaya, and then we'd have to slaughter it, and cover them, we'd have to cover the blood, in which case we don't allow it, okay? They're machmir. So now they say, umila rabbana misapkale, and this is the last time we'll get to today, from the fact that rabbanan are misupakim, I choshashim lezera'av, what can we assume? The Rabbi Eliezer must be pshitale. In other words, if there's a machloket, the assumption is, and this is going to be an assumption maybe we're going to challenge, or we are going to challenge later, which is, the assumption is, they say, choshashin lezera ha'av misafek, which means that when Rabbi Eliezer says, ain't choshashin, they must be saying, barur me'achuz, we don't have to, even l'kula. Okay? Then they're going to say, but wait, don't we see where Rabbi Eliezer and Mesupakim? Then they're going to say, oh, they both seem to be Mesupakim. Well, if they're both Mesupakim, then what's the difference between them? That's where we're going to go with this tomorrow. Okay.